35 through 38. And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to the disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest." The word of God for the people of God.
That'll be Evan's text, and I just wanted to briefly introduce him. For those of you that haven't met him, Evan Zocheo has a long story in Jesus, but I met him while he was a youth pastor here at another church, and got to know him at First Rio Doso over here, and grown to love him, and just was really caught up in his calling to go back to Nairobi, Kenya, to where he was raised, and to go back to the children there, on the streets there, and just his calling in ministry seemed profound and hard and difficult, and it seemed like it was a thing that I just knew was from God, and talked to our leadership about, yeah, let's support him in going. And so it's been our joy to support him and the missions that's going on there. So he'll bring the word to us and also give us an update of all the ministry that's going on there. Would you all give him a warm Grace Harvest welcome?
Love you, brother.
I felt like I wasn't prepared for this trip coming over here, because in Nairobi right now it's really warm. So I thank God for my Burundian friend. When I told him I was traveling, he's from Burundi, he's a refugee from Burundi. I told him I was traveling, and he said, "Well, if you're traveling, Pastor, I have a gift for you that I'd love for you to take." He took my measurements and he said, "Well, I'll dress you for this trip." But I guess he was in the spirit, because I was prepared with t-shirts and just not long sleeve clothes. So, but he knew I was coming here. And so it's been really great to be back with you guys again. My wife and family are not able to be here. We just had a new addition to our family since the last time we were here. His name is Justice. And so for that reason, we are still working on other paperwork from the Kenyan government, and then we can begin working on the paperwork from the U.S. government. So far, we cannot all travel together. So either one of us has to travel, the other one has to stay with the kids. So this time round, it was me that is able to travel. And we thank God. We are your missionaries serving in Nairobi, Kenya. And like I say, God has blessed us. We are now a family of five. Kyla is my oldest. Oh, sorry. Kyla is my oldest. He's 10 years old now. And he was pretty sad in saying, why is it that you are the only one traveling back? We haven't seen family for the last 2 years. I said, let's pray and God will make a way, and you guys will be able to come. We can come together. Elaine is my second one. She's 8. And then we have Justice, who will be turning 2 in March. He's pretty fun to be around, and he's an amazing kid, and we thank God for him. God has blessed us with the opportunity to serve in Nairobi, Kenya, a population of about 5 million people. Yes, it's not as big as you think, but the population in that city is bigger than New Mexico as a whole. Yeah, and so Nairobi is also one of the fastest growing cities in Africa, and we have many We have many embassies in Nairobi. We have the UN headquarters in all of Africa is in Nairobi. So you can imagine every other company, every other nations are coming into Nairobi. And so with that comes with a lot of challenges and a need for the true gospel of Jesus Christ. Nairobi is also a shape of fish. I don't have the picture there, but I've told you this. Last time I was here, I shared that. Like, when you Google the map, it looks like a fish. So that always, I tell people, when you think of fish, think of us. If you don't remember our name, you don't remember anything about us, but when you see a fish or think of a fish, think of Nairobi and pray for us. That is where God has placed us to serve, and we are grateful for that opportunity, and we are grateful for Grace Harvest and people like you that are holding the rope so that we can be in Nairobi and serve God and serve his people there. So today I'm going to share with you, I'm going to try and combine everything together, share the word of God with you, and also give an update of what is happening in Nairobi, Kenya. The scripture has been read. We've read in the book of Matthew chapter number 9, verses 35 to 38. It's a scripture that I love most because it speaks of the heart of God and it speaks to us as a people that God has called in whatever area that you're in. And so I really love the scripture. And it says, Jesus went out through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. From this scripture, we see the heart of God. And let me pray before I continue. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for an opportunity like this that we can all share in your word. Your word, which is a lamp to our feet, which gives direction, which leads us and guides us to how you want us to live and how you want us to do things. And so, Father, I pray that you speak to us through your word. May I decrease and may you increase in your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So from this scripture, we are seeing the heart of God for his people. We see how God looks. You see how God sees how things happen around. The Bible says that he went out. So he went out of his way. He went to towns. He went to villages. The first part that we realize or that we learned that God went out was when God himself came here on earth to die on the cross for us. He left his own position. He left the heavens just because of you and me. It just shows you how God feels and sees you and me. It just shows you how much he cares and loves us. And he wants the best for all humanity. So over here, we're being told now, skipping forward, he's already here in the earth with us. He's now going through towns, through villages like ours in Ruidoso. He's teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing every sicknesses. We can see the Father's heart is for his glory in this scripture. He wants people to come to him. In Habakkuk chapter number 2, which is not there, verses 14 says, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the water covers the sea. So the primary reason why we do mission is to bring the glory and honor to God. And the way we bring glory and honor back to God is he uses the church, that is you and me, to spread his glory to all the nations of the earth. So when Jesus saw the crowd, he had compassion on them. His heart was heavily moved by the condition of the people. Church, if we love God, we should be moved by what moves him. The God we love is a serving God. The God we love is a God that has commanded us to go into those places, to go everywhere and preach the gospel, share the good news to the world that is dying without hope. On my way here, I was watching the news, and it's sad to watch the news where the helicopter and the plane crashed together and many people lost their lives. And so people are dying every day, and it brought to my, it made me begin questioning myself, like how many of those that died there knew Jesus Christ? And perhaps they had people like you, perhaps they had friends or families that already knew Christ, but did not take the opportunity to go and share with them. So it really saddens my heart that I don't see the way God sees. That I don't love people the way God loves people. Because we can see when he looked at them, he was moved with the condition. He was moved with the lostness in the world. He was moved with the brokenness in the world that we're living in today. So God is moved with the situations that are happening around us. God is moved when his people are hurting. God is moved when his people are broken. God is moved when his people are suffering. God is moved when his people are in pain. He's moved. And the Bible says he was moved. The Bible says that he had compassion. He had compassion on their situation, and the Bible says that he was preaching and healing all of their sicknesses and their afflictions. So he was not only able to see their situations, but he felt it and met those needs. So as a church, God is also calling us to do the same as we are seeing the needs around us. The one question that I ask the churches that I work with in Nairobi, Kenya, and even the other part is, if this church will cease to exist, will the community around us know that there was a church here that made a difference? That is a question that I ask our Nairobi churches, and it's a question that I think we as churches as a whole need to begin asking ourselves. If we cease to exist today, if this building is no longer here, which we thank God. I was talking to Pastor when I was driving this way 2 years ago. This place was so beautiful with trees. It looks amazing. And when I came here, it was sad to see the condition, the situation here. And I was talking to Pastor, and he's telling me of all the places, what happened around. And this church survived in all of the fire around. And I thought, why did this church survive to be here today? There's a reason why Grace Harvest is here. Not only for the Ruidoso community, not only, but it, Grace Harvest hands stretch all the way to Africa where we are today. And I can come back to Ruidoso and visit Grace Harvest and share with you of what God is doing. So we see the hand of God. Our God that we love is a serving God. The Great Commission is to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you. Matthew 28:18. Once we've been baptized, once we spend the rest of our lives learning to obey the commandment of Jesus. But to what end? Why do we continue learning and obeying the commandments of Jesus? We do that because our end goal is to become like God in his character. Our end goal is to become like God in his character. How we love, we are supposed to be, how he loved us, we're supposed to go out and love other people that do not look like us. We're supposed to be sharing with other people. We're supposed to be serving other people that don't look like that, that don't do things the way we do things. You know, it's easier for me to be sitting in a church where I reason with everybody that looks like me, that thinks like me, that do things the way I do. It's easier because we all think alike, because we've all believed in Jesus Christ. So it's easier for us to just continue the same path. But are you willing to move out of your comfort zone? Just like we are learning Jesus' character, he was going to the cities, he was going to the villages. Are you willing to move out of your comfort zone to reach out to those that are far from God? Does it move you when you see or when you hear how many people are dying today that will not see heaven? Jesus did not just meet their physical needs and walked away. He addressed their greatest need, which was the condition of their heart. Are we addressing? That's a question that personally we as missionaries in Kenya, we ask ourselves. Are we only addressing the physical needs and we are missing the main point, which is addressing the condition of their heart? Because if you're doing that, then you're just like any other organization like UN, and you're just providing that, but you're not pointing them to where they're supposed to be, which is in Christ Jesus. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Why? Like I said, because of our calendars are full of lists of things that we need to do first before doing what the Lord has called us to do. I have this and this that I have to do, this and this and this and this, before I can add on another list, or I am too busy, I don't need anything else that will make my life uncomfortable. How many of you have watched, let me just use this, and then I'm about to finish. You gave a Kenyan time, but I take forever. In Kenya, they say they have all the time, but I'll try. How many of you have watched the movie Titanic? Pretty much. Most people have watched the movie Titanic, right? Did you know that 328 died frozen, not because of the Titanic flip, but because the people that were in the boat did not reach out to the people that were in the water who already had floaties? Have you ever think about that? 328 people died because the people in the boat did not reach out to them. They already had floaties. They were frozen to death. They died because the people who were already saved did nothing to the people who were dying within their reach. As a church, have we ever asked ourselves, it's a question, are we willing to turn our boats around to reach out to those that need a Savior? Are we willing to reschedule our lives to reach out to those that need a Savior? I'll have talked more and share with you, because when I moved here, my life was comfortable. I was a youth pastor. I had my office there. I was doing everything. But you know, when God called, we had to turn our boats around. We had to move everything around. We had to leave the families that we loved. We had to do things differently, so that we can go where God was calling us. So it's a question that I'm asking you today. Are you willing to turn your boat around to reach those that need a Savior? The world needs a Savior. Ruidoso needs a Savior. New Mexico needs a Savior. The United States needs a Savior. Africa needs a Savior. Asia needs a Savior. Are we willing to turn our life boats around to reach out to those that are dying without Christ? Is the question that I will leave for you today as I continue sharing what we're doing in Africa. But I just wanted to share that with you to encourage you, and also to ask you to take that bold move. I don't know what God is calling you to do. It might be maybe God is calling you to pray for a missionary somewhere. It might be maybe God is calling you to start serving that neighbor that is close, the neighbor that doesn't know anything about Christ, that neighbor that casts like a sailor. You're like, no, I don't want to go closer to them. Maybe God is calling. I don't know what God is calling you. Every one of us, God might not be calling you to Africa like he did call us, but he might be calling you to where you are. So ask your question, am I willing to turn my lifeboat around to reach those that need a savior? Because of the urgency and the need of the gospel, in Nairobi we turn our boats and move to Kenya. In Kenya, for those that were not here last time, I'll just redo some of the stuff that we do. In Kenya, we have, which I think it's over here too, we have what we call cultural Christianity. It's a cultural Christianity country with born-again minority. Why do I say born-again minority or the believers a minority? I say that because the vast majority of people who identify as Christians neither live for Christ nor will they die for him. This is due to false teachings and lack of true understanding of the gospel. So we are dealing with, when you hear, sometimes I hear when they say the church is there, there's an 80% Christianity. But when you look how they live their life, does not depict on how the Christianity that they claim. Because we have mixed, and last time when you were here, I talked about where we have mixed our traditional and culture into the gospel. So I can walk into the church and sit back there with something tied on my waist, and I'm still a believer. I can still live the way I used. There's no change between me. It's just the only thing is I go to church on Sunday. So that's why I called the cultural Christianity. Only 5% of churches in Kenya can share the gospel. This begs the question, where are the 95%? So God has called us, and our mission there is to see a multitude of people from every tongue and tribe in Nairobi exalting Jesus and following him in healthy churches that impact both Kenya and the nations of the world. So we are going to churches, we are training church members, we are training church leaders how they can live their faith and how they can share that faith with others who don't know what they believe, and how they can begin discipling others. And through that, we are also seeing churches being planted from those little groups that we are starting to work with, that we are working with. Churches are coming up. This year, I am part of a church, a new church plant, that is working and raising up church leaders in Kenya that will also go and plant other churches. It's a new church plant, and we're trying to bring in on board Kenyans that will take over. Because it's easier for me to settle in and say, I'll be a pastor, and everybody will listen to me. But that's not why I went back to Kenya. I went so that those that are sitting in the pew can become taking those, realizing what God has called them to do, and they can begin reaching out to other places. So that's why we are in Kenya. That is one of the reasons why we are in Kenya. And to achieve what I'm doing today, teaching and training the churches, we partner with pastors who are already there with the churches to train and equip the churches in the areas of evangelism and train and discipleship. We also teach the characteristics of a healthy church. We go through that together. Not that we have all the information, all that we know, but we go through together and see how is your church doing in this area, and how can we get better in other areas to to be able to build a church that glorify God for the good, for the eternal good of all the people. That's what we do in Nairobi, Kenya. So we work together. Like I was telling the pastor that, you know, in I've had a lot to learn. People may think, oh, you're from Kenya. I lived in the U.S. I had a different culture here. And I go back to a culture that is also changing every day. So some of the context of what will work here in America will not be able to work in that culture. So you have to relearn what works. And that's why we are partnering with the churches that are already existing so that we can work together to be able to come and build something that will bring honor and glory to God and build the people in the church. We also partner, We also partner with Shelter Yetu, where God has also called us to rescue. If you're here, last time I shared my story and why I had the passion to go back to Nairobi and do what we are doing now. And if you want to know more, I'll be out there. Because of time, I'm trying. I know I'm beyond maybe the past at the time that I had. But I'll be out there. I'll share with you why we do what we do and all that story if you want to know. So we also partner with Shelter Yetu. In Shelter Yetu, we focus on three areas. We rescue boys from the street of Nairobi, boys ages 7 to 14. My last rescue, I had a 7-year-old that I had to get out of the street. I still have a 6-year-old that is still out there that I'm praying that God will open his heart for me to be able to take him out of the street. Because we don't force them to leave the street. We talk to them. There's many things that we do. So in Shelter, we rescue, we rehabilitate, and we reintegrate them back to families. Because we strongly believe that children belong to families. We strongly believe children belong to families, and maybe you might disagree, but I believe children do well in a family setting more than an institution. So that's why they don't stay in shelter forever. But once we rescue them, we take them to shelter, we begin counseling, we begin rehab, and then we find families. And I'll share some of the statistics in the slide on how many kids have family. But because the family cannot afford to take care, an orphanage is there, they send them there so that the kid can be in an orphanage. And so we rescue, we do that. We have outreach programs. You wonder how we do all that. We have outreach programs, which on a weekly basis, we are out on the street twice a week. We have, and sometimes three times a week, depending on the need. We provide 250 meals per week to the boys and girls out on the street. And food is a way that we reconnect, we connect with them. It gives you an opportunity to know their story while you are eating together with them, to know their story, know why they are on the street. Do they have a parent? And sometimes you might not get the truth in the first beginning, but it's okay. It just gives you that entry point where you begin to know their story and why they're on the street. The reason why I do that, in the streets of Nairobi, they call them chokora. It means you belong in a trash can, so nobody cares about you. And me being one of those boys some years back, I know the pain of somebody just pushing me on the side, or somebody just say, well, here's a leftover. But they did not want to hear my story while I was on the street. So I'll tell you, hey, I'll buy you food today. Let's go sit down and talk while you eat. And I know their story. And some of the story, you hear their story and it moves you to love on those people, to love on them the way God has loved us. We also do soccer, which is football in Kenya, the Kenyan football. It's not the American football. It's in Africa, it's an easy way to get an entry point to these boys and girls because everybody loves soccer. And we also sometimes help with the basic needs like haircuts. We sometimes have to buy shoes. Even though as shelter we disagree with creating the dependency where we buy jackets, but on a rainy season, I don't walk on the street and say, well, because I'm not rescuing you today, I'll not buy you a jacket. Sometimes I buy jackets and cover them, clothe them, because one day I'll go to heaven and God will ask me, when I was angry, you did not feed me. When I was cold and shivering, you did not clothe me. And so I will be answerable to that. And so I do that. And through that, they know that somebody cares about them. They know that somebody is willing. When I started going on those streets, nobody, those kids were very, like, very far and will not even come near. You'll probably have to. And then they begin asking you, why do you come here every week? Who are you and what do you want from us? Because some of them have been misused, abused, and all that kind of stuff. Until I share my story with them, until I share why I'm on the street every week with them, that is when they began trusting me. And every time I walk on the street, you'll just hear them whistling. And once the whistle goes, and they start calling themselves. And by the time you realize, you have about 70 kids with you. And so on a weekly, I feed about 200, I provide about 250 meals. And you wonder how I do that? That is because of people like you, of the church like you, Grace Harvest, that is stretching its ends beyond Ruidoso so that we can be able to do what we do in Kenya. So again, I want to thank you for an opportunity to be here and share with you on what is happening in Kenya. And it's because of your love and support we're able to do that. In 2024, that is last year, it was a challenging year, but also a good year that God blesses with justice. And officially, legally, we have justice. And there's many things that happen. And because of that, my wife was not able to do a lot in the field as normal, because we had a little one at home that needed that love and care. And so it was a challenging, but also a year that we also saw God doing great stuff. In 2024, in Nairobi, we were able to rescue 40 boys. And total rescue was 102 from other parts of Kenya. I'm responsible for Nairobi. I rescue within Nairobi. And we have other social workers that are also rescuing other parts of Kenya. We also, like I mentioned or I shared last time, if you remember, we have boys and girls that are beyond the age that I can rescue that goes to shelter. They are past that age. And so what do I do with them? Because you miss out on them, then you're creating the circle. Like I'm talking to you, as I'm talking to you now, we have two girls that are already pregnant. And the fathers of their children are the boys, the 17 years old, the 16 years old, that are on the street with them. So if I neglect them, I'm creating the circle where I will still be coming back on the street and rescuing the smaller ones. So I'm not really, I'm making a difference, but not really. We are going back. And so this year, last year, we began doing something different. Last year, we began exploring new avenues on how we can empower those older boys and girls to make a living and to live off the street. So we sent 10 to trade schools. We provided business. I partner with another organization that does business training. Give them basic trainings on business, and they follow up with them once they began a business to help them stand on their own. So we did a business, Nairobi business. We did jobs, obtained 7, and we provided 7,097 meals in the year 2024. All this happened because of your church, you guys reaching out to Nairobi because of what we are doing. So I'm so grateful for Grace Harvest, and even for an opportunity. I know you didn't plan to have a service like this. I know this was out of the ordinary, but just bear with me so that I can share what you guys might not be seeing happening behind the scenes. Because of your continued partnership, you guys are being a blessing in Nairobi, Kenya. Allow me to share two of the stories of the transformational stories that we witnessed last year. One of the boys that I rescued took to shelter with other boys. For some reason, met other boys, told him, well, you need to run. The boys that told him run stayed behind. He left and had nowhere to go, went back on the street. I met him again on the street. So it happened. It breaks your heart when you work so hard to take them out and then they go back. But the question that rings in mind is, how many times when God has forgiven us of something, how many times do we always go back to that same sin? How many times has God been patient with us? So that keeps me going back, and sometimes it's frustrating, but you go back. And I began talking to Victor and sharing with him, Victor, it's an opportunity. You can go back home. I can help you, because he was not living a good life on the street. When he went back, sometimes you'll find his face swollen. He had a fight or somebody beat him up. And so it was hard. And so last year, we do ministry as a family. Of course, my kids go to school, but we try to do ministry as a family so that they can know the reason why we're in Africa. And so in December, we did a Christmas celebration party with all of our boys and girls on the street. We had food. It was different. We at least had some beef, chicken. We had cake. It was different than the normal one that I use on a weekly basis. And so, which really helped. They were asking, why are we today even having cake? Why are we having this big celebration? It was an opening for me to be able to share the gospel. To tell them the reason why we celebrate Christmas is because God loves us so much that he sent Jesus to come here on earth. So that's why we are celebrating today. And from that, it continue opening more questions. They want to know, who is this God that cares about them, even though they are suffering. But because we are going there, they're asking more questions. Now we are beginning our little Bible studies because of that. From just meals and sharing together. But in that time when we were there, Victor, who for the many times I deny that he doesn't know the mom's phone number, he doesn't know anything, came to me and he told me, you have been like a father to me. You have been like a brother that I didn't have. I'm tired of living in the street. I want to go back home. I said, do you have a way that we can take you home? Do you have a phone number, somebody that I can be able to get a hold of? He said, yeah, I remember my mom's phone number. Let's try this. We tried the first one, it was not it. We tried the second one, he was missing two numbers. We tried the third one. Third time is a charm. It worked. We called the mom, and she was like, who is this? And I introduced myself, and I said, Mom, I'm here with a boy called Victor. Do you know him? I said, that's my son. My son has been gone for over a year. We have reported to the police station. Nothing has happened. And you could just hear the screaming and excitement on the other side of the phone. And she asked, where are you? I gave her direction. It was 2 hours, 2.5 hours from where she was. Because I'm getting a bus right now. I'm coming to where you guys are. And I told Victor. So she told me, explained to me, Victor just had an issue with school. And he was afraid that the mom and dad would be so mad at him. And he ran away. It was just a simple mistake with the teachers at school. And you can hear like a mom that has been missing their son for almost a year, did not know where the son was. It was a Christmas celebration. I call that a miracle. Because the celebration that was in that home cannot be compared to anything. Their son that was missing for almost a year. The mom came. Victor is no longer in the street. Victor is now enrolled in school. And it's because of, again, your partnership that we're able to do things like that. So thank you again. Victor is now home because of you guys. One story that we also I'll highlight of Alex. When we rescue kids, when we do the reintegration where we reunify them back to their families, we don't just say bye, see you. We follow up until they get to the age of 18. Because once they're 18, now they're adults. Now they've lived in the circle of the family. We see where there's a need, where we can help, and make sure they're not going back on the street. And if they go back on the street, we find ways how we can take them out of the street again. Because there's many influences, there are many things that makes them go back on the street. So Alex, when we rescued Alex, he was 15 years old. And we took Alex to the shelter, he did the program, changed. We brought Alex back home. When they saw us, the neighbors, it was not an excitement to see Alex back home. Because Alex was being used with the gangs to steal from the neighborhood. So he will be coming here and looking out, what is he in Grace Harvest? Because he's a kid, he will not suspect anything. And then he goes tell them, okay, this is how they do things, and then they'll come steal. So the community did not want Alex back. So we found out Alex wanted to do welding, which is one of the trade school, and I found a welder, and I asked him if he's willing to train Alex. And he told me, I've lived in this neighborhood for the last 17 years, and I've known that kid since he was little. To be honest with you, I would have loved to train him, but I am scared. This kid that you have here stole from me some years back. And I'm afraid. But he came back and said, you know, we all need a second chance. I'm willing to take Alex in. Alex began his welding courses. And when we did follow up with the welder, Apollo said, you know, I don't know what you guys did with this kid, but this kid is the most disciplined kid that I've ever trained. This kid cleans up to himself. These kids go around and ask whoever needs help. He's always willing to do stuff. So thank you, and continue doing what you're doing. Because now I can go tell the neighbors that Alex is no longer the same kid that they knew. And now the community is also helping us to help Alex. This, for us, shows us that kids belong in a family and a community. We all need kids in our community, in a family. Continue praying for Alex. He comes from a broken home. Mama Alex struggles with alcohol. That is one of the major challenges that we are facing with alcohol, with Alex right now. He's willing, he's changed, he's out of the street. But the home environment is not as good. Mama's promises, we are trying to find ways on how to help mom so that Alex can stay home. So that Alex can make a living on his own. So pray for that and pray for Alex. But those are just a few stories that we get to share with you. And if you're not signed up for our newsletters and our Facebook, we have a Facebook page. We try to update on what we are doing in those places. Though you can see those and see how you can begin praying for us as we are out there in Nairobi. I have the last slide that I wanted to talk to a little bit. I'm sorry, Pastor. I'm really sorry. I have the other slide that has some of the statistics where we believe that family, kids belong into family. And this is my wife, Chelsea, has now taken up a role working with an organization called Send Relief to work with churches here in the States, work with the organization orphanages in Africa and Kenya, and churches to help them do orphan care better. Because we found out that an estimated of 5 to 8 million children worldwide are living in an orphanage. And out of the 80% that are living in orphanage, they have one living parent somewhere. And if they don't, they have an extended family. So my question to you today, as you look into that, if you have kids or grandkids, if something happened, if you're a parent, and something happened and you're not here anymore, where would you want your child to go? There's an orphanage, there's family. Something happened to you. Where would you want your child to go? And if that family that you think you want your child to go is not there, where would you want your child to go? Find another family. Yes? So still family, right? So the last place that we usually want to take our kids is the orphanage. So we are trying to enlighten churches how to do orphan care better. Because children belongs to families. And that is how God created all of us. So when you look at that and what we are doing right now, we don't want to institutionalize these kids. But we're finding if the mom or the dad is not there, we are finding a grandma somewhere. We are finding an aunt somewhere where they can grow in an environment where they can see families, where they can see other kids instead of being institutionalized. So that's what we do in Africa. Thank you guys a lot. And thank you. I'm really sorry for taking much of your time today. But I'm hoping you've been encouraged today to move out of your boat and reach out to those that are not the same as you for the gospel's purpose. Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you. I'm going to reach out a hand and we'll just pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we pray over Evans Okeo, his family, Lord, and his ministry in Nairobi, Kenya, Lord. We pray that you continue to reach through him your hands and your feet, Lord, and carry this ministry to everything that you want it to accomplish, Lord. And may all the glory go to your son, Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Blessings, brother.
Thank you.
We're going to give an opportunity for, in closing, to take the Lord's Supper. And we'll sing the closing hymn together. And during this time after communion, we will take an offering for Evans. Thank you so much, all you regulars that give to Grace Harvest Church and our support through him throughout the year. But if God's moved you in any way just to bless Evans and his family extra, we will do that at the end of this finish of the service today. But if now, Micah, could you come and help me serve the communion up here? And if you're a visitor today, you're welcome to come up and take this as long as you're a believer in Jesus Christ and return to your seat and we'll take the Lord's Supper together. Please come.
Thank you. that first?
In the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread and gave thanks to the Father and said, "Take and eat of this, for this is my body, and do this in remembrance of me." Let us partake of the bread together. We thank you, Father, for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you, Jesus, for willingly offering your body up upon the cross for our sins. We praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. In like manner, Jesus took the cup and he said, "This is the cup of the new covenant given in my blood for the remission of sins. Take and drink of it. And when you do, do this in remembrance of me and remember my death until I come." Let us partake of the cup together. Hallelujah. Praise you. Praise you, God. Thank you, Father, for giving us your Son, knowing that he would be rejected, knowing that he would be bruised for our iniquities, but that through his stripes we would be healed. You knew he would shed his blood in the beating. You knew he would shed his blood upon the cross. You knew he would give his life, and yet you sent him, God. You loved us, and you sent your only begotten Son for us, and we praise you and thank you for that. Jesus, we thank you that you willingly went to the cross for us, and you gave your life, and you shed your precious holy blood that was spotless, without sin, for us sinners, that your love was demonstrated for us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ, you died for us. We praise you. We thank you. Continue to drill your love down into our hearts, the very depths of your love, God. We praise you and thank you for it. And anoint our hearts, Lord, to worship you in this closing song. Let us sing together for the glory of Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.
Before the throne of God above, I have
That donation goes to Evans just to, as an extra blessing to him. We also have cards back here by the offering and tithe table for Evans, and I'm sure he can point those out to you, and you can continue to follow and support his ministry. Now, would you join me in a word of prayer? Lord, as this offering is taken, we pray that you would just multiply it and bless it, Lord. Let it be given and sent in love, and may the love of Christ, the steadfast love of Christ, surround Evans and his family and his ministry. May you continue to bless him in all of his labor and work for the glory of your Son, Jesus Christ, and may you continue to rescue many, Lord, from the plight that they're in there in Nairobi, Lord. May you bring about your great salvation towards them, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for your giving, and let me say a final blessing over you. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you that you turned things around. You left heaven and you came down for us. And thank you that you went out of your way to the cities and the villages, and that your gospel is spread over this world and even here to Rio Doso, New Mexico, and all around where we live, Lord, that we heard the gospel. Somebody took the time to spread your good news to us. And we thank you, Lord, that the message of the gospel is being proclaimed. And we thank you that we've received it. And I pray that the good news blessing in our lives, Lord, that we would not just remain in our own comfort zone, Lord, but as Evan said, we would turn our boat around and go back and rescue those that need a Savior, Lord. Please help us to do that. Help us to bring honor and glory and bring fruit into the kingdom of God, that many would be saved. In Jesus' name, amen.